Jeff Patterson from Team 1040 in Vancouver joins us. Jeff, it's crazy times in Vancouver right now. Fans must be flabbergasted at what they had to witness last night.
Do we have to talk about the Canucks, Gregor? Every time I'm on your show, we have to talk about the Canucks. Can't we come up with something else to talk about?
Well, hey, we could talk about the BC Lions.
I'd rather talk about them. It's a sunny day here in Vancouver. I'm trying to get away from these guys. They're off to Winnipeg for a start of a four-game road trip, skated earlier today, and were questioned about picking up the pieces and where do they go from here. But, yeah, I mean, it was one for the ages last night. No other way to describe it. You know, you talk about 1998, 99, everything about these Canucks right now leads back to that 1998-99 team with Mike Keenan at the helm and Mark Messier back in those days. I mean, that's the last time this team had any sort of season like they're going through right now. But it's going from bad to worse. I mean, 6-1 in Dallas last week, and some of the players called that rock bottom. And then they had two shots on goal through 20 minutes against the Flames at home on Saturday, a Calgary team that had eight rookies in the lineup, 14 shots on the night. They ended up winning that hockey game. And then last night, I mean, they looked like they were in full control, up 3-0, you know, through two periods of play. And I was at a loss. Like, I went home last night from the rink and had to watch the highlights because, honestly, I had no idea what I had just seen. Like, I was in shock. The players were in shock. John Tortorella looks like he's on meds right now. I mean, he looks beaten up and defeated and, you know, a guy who was hired to breathe life and to breathe fire into this group. He's got nothing. I mean, he hasn't been the same guy since the suspension. So, yeah, the death spiral continues, 15 games to go. And, you know, you want to believe that it's rock bottom, but I think they wanted to believe that 6-1 in Dallas last week was rock bottom, and then they did this last night. You know, they did it last night. No Tavares, obviously, in the Islanders lineup. Michael Grabner left that game in the second period. So Grabner, who is now, I think, their second leading scorer in the lineup behind Okposo, he wasn't even there for the third period, so they did it with their grinders last night. That's how bad it was.
Jeff, is there any way that John Tortorella's back next year?
Back next year or next week?
Well, yes, either way.
Well, there's a lot of speculation out here. I mean, does he return from this road trip? The Canucks go Winnipeg, and then they go Washington, and then down to the two stops in Florida, and there's a lot of speculation that, you know, they could maybe make a clean departure from John Tortorella out on the road. You know, they wouldn't have to answer as many questions. Obviously, not as much media following the team away from home as there is back here. So, you know, I don't know how much luggage John Tortorella packed for this road trip. But, no, I mean, next year, the question is it just John Tortorella? Is it Mike Gillis? Is it a package deal? You know, we know somebody's going to pay a price for this. It's just a question of who and when. And when you have six wins in your last 26 games, you know, the question is, can these guys survive the season?
Yeah.
They keep talking about the playoffs. And, I mean, it's just such a laughable notion, given where they are. And then you get nights like last night. You know, they haven't strung wins together, consecutive wins together. In fact, the last time they won back-to-back games, the second of the two was John Tortorella's first suspended game in Edmonton when they beat the Oilers 2-1. I think that was January 21st. So, you know, March 21st coming up, not that far down the road. 2 months between consecutive wins. I mean, that's the boat they're in, and yet somehow these guys still, with a straight face, talk about making the playoffs.
Jeff Patterson from Team 1040 in Vancouver joins us. Jeff, what's interesting about the Canucks is for 40 minutes last night, they were completely in control of that game, right? And then it just, the wheels completely fell off. Now, and I know everybody, no one expects to give up seven goals, but Eddie Lack in net. You know, Roberto Luongo, Corey Schneider, I don't know if I've ever seen a team go from two number ones to two question marks in less than a full calendar year like they've done in Vancouver. But is Eddie Lack a guy who right now is showing that he's not ready for prime time?
You know, it's tough to say because going into last night's game, he'd given up one goal or fewer in five of his last seven starts. The Dallas game jumps out because he wasn't good and they weren't very good. And last night was a disaster, and yet, you know, we were talking after 40 minutes about a shutout against an Islander team. You know, for the first 18 minutes of the second period last night, the Islanders had one shot on goal, and it came from center ice. Now, Brian McGrattan scored an Eddie Lack from center ice on Saturday, so he had to make a save there. But, you know, that's the kind of game it was. The Islanders had one shot through 18 minutes, and then they had this flurry at the tail end of the second period that led to a Nick Jensen penalty. So the Islanders start the third period on the power play, and you're thinking, you know, if you're the Canucks, just kill it off and then go from there. And clearly they didn't, and then things started to snowball, and 5-on-3, and boom, 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 3 power play goals. So, yeah, Eddie Lack wasn't very good last night in the third period. You know, penalty killing has been one of the bright spots for the Canucks. I mean, they were the best penalty-killing team in the league for the first half of the season, but like everything else since Christmas, it's come off the rails. But back to the question, there's just no way of knowing. Eddie Lack has been one of the better stories on this Vancouver Canucks hockey team all season long, but that was always as the backup to Roberto Luongo. Well, Roberto's not here anymore. You know, John Tortorella said today, it's easy to be Robin, it's not easy to be Batman, and now Eddie Lack is forced into being Batman. And you know, who knows what they've got in Jacob Markstrom. You know, he's barely played at the NHL level this year, and the times he has played in the NHL, it's been behind a terrible Florida team. So you know, I think the book is very much out on Jacob Markstrom. So for the foreseeable future, it is Eddie Lack. He's the only option they've got. They've already said they're going right back to him tomorrow night against the Winnipeg Jets. And, you know, he's an interesting cat. He sort of fits the profile of most goaltenders. He's not a normal dude. I mean that in the nicest sense. Like, he's a terrific guy, and his teammates all love him. But, you know, he is out there. Not to Briz levels, but he's on his way along that road, and so it's hard to get a beat on him on, you know, in terms of where his head is and how he's going to respond to something like last night. But he bounced back from getting the hook in Dallas last week and held the Flames to one goal. Yeah, I know it's the Flames, and then last night through two periods, he's perfect. And who knows why it got so bad in such a hurry last night, but it did, and they've got to pick up these pieces and move along now.
Jeff, Torts talked about Markstrom and not going to him last night instead of leaving Eddie in for the whole time. What does he mean by that? He just doesn't feel that he's not ready.
I mean, you trade for the guy. I asked John to clarify that today because I didn't know if he meant he's not ready for the NHL or, and he said, no, what he meant was he didn't think he was ready to throw Markstrom into a situation like that where, you know, the game was still up for grabs. I mean, the Islanders score, they make it 4-3. The Canucks score, make it 4-all. Mm-hmm. And you think, okay, goofy as it's been, maybe the Canucks are going to get the next one and win this thing 5-4. And so John Tortorella talked about, you know, thinking about getting Eddie Lack out of there, and yet he got Eddie Lack out of there in Dallas 2 games ago. And so now you're dealing with this guy who's assumed the number one role, and, you know, what kind of damage do you do to his psyche if you keep pulling him every other game, and they don't know what they've got in Markstrom, who hasn't played a lot. And so I think when he said he wasn't ready, he clarified that today and said he just didn't think he was ready to go into that situation where the Canucks absolutely had to have a save, and he didn't think it was fair because they did that to the kid that they got down in Utica earlier this in that 9-1 game in Anaheim. They got Lack out of there. Luongo was hurt, and so Joakim Eriksson came in. NHL debut, and it's 5 or 6-1, and before you knew it, it was 9-1, and John Tortorella has spoken a couple of times since then about, you know, that wasn't fair to that kid then in his NHL debut, and I think he was sort of protecting Markstrom while also, you know, placing it on Eddie Lack and just saying, hey, if you want to be a number one, this is the kind of adversity at times you're going to have to deal with, and you've got to come up with a save. Unfortunately, he didn't last night, and they end up losing in embarrassing fashion. So they've got issues in goal. There's no question about it. You're right, after years and years of no questions in goal or, you know, who's the number one, but they had two legitimate options. Now they've got all kinds of different questions about their goaltending situation.
Jeff, a few other things about the Canucks. Ryan Kessler last night was visibly upset about that, obviously. Do you see Kessler an obvious guy to be gone in the offseason? And if he's gone, does Kevin Bieksa and others follow?
Second question first. Bieksa has said repeatedly and said it on After Hours the other night, the quote about going down with the ship. He's got the no trade, and he says he's a Canuck, and he has no interest. I mean, he is so well-rooted in this community now. I don't see Kevin Bieksa going to management and waiving his no trade. Kessler, I mean, it sounded like he was ready to go, and it didn't happen. But the questions then are who's calling the shots and who's making the trade, and if there's a new management and or coaching regime coming in, you know, do they make a play to go to Ryan Kessler and make him some sort of promise about finding guys to play with? My suspicion is that Ryan Kesler will not start the season here next year, but I thought he was gone. I was on the record saying I thought that they were going to peddle him ahead of the deadline to start the process, the rebuild process. So I read that one wrong, or at least they didn't get the offers they were looking for. You know, we'll see what happens around the draft once all teams are, you know, finish their seasons. And if some teams decide that maybe Ryan Kesler is a piece that they want to pursue, you know, perhaps the Canucks get some offers that weren't there at the deadline. But he's a tough guy to deal with at the best of times, and he's clearly having a tough time dealing with what's going on around him, and he's been a part of it because he's been all right, but he hasn't been terrific this season. He leads the team in goals, but pretty modest total with 22. So, you know, they're looking at they won't have a 30-goal scorer. They may not have a 25-goal scorer. Their leading point guy this season is probably going to be somewhere between 40 and 50 points, which, you know, it would just shatter the previous low for the franchise. 45 years in the NHL, the previous low was 56 points in a full season, and, you know, they're looking at their leading scorer having 45 to 50 points. So, again, all these types of things just scream to the fact that they don't have the guns, they don't have an offense, they can't score the timely goals. And then last night when they have a 3-0 lead, you know, one of the rare nights they did get some goals, couldn't protect them. So issues abound, no question about it.
Well, Jeff, it's going to be an interesting one to watch, and definitely will be, a busy offseason for the Vancouver Canucks.
Yeah, it's going to get here sooner than we're accustomed to, even though the last two off-seasons obviously started prematurely as well with first-round exits. But I think most people here in Vancouver thought this was a playoff team, maybe not an upper echelon playoff team, but certainly a playoff team, and to fall to the depths that they have. Been pretty startling this run since Christmas and 15 games to go. You know, who knows where it goes from here, but as you guys know in this business, it's given us plenty to talk about.
Well, the way they're going, if Nashville catches them, Oilers, Canucks, and Flames will be the three worst teams in the Western Conference.
That's been pointed out many times out here, and Nashville's in the next home game, so maybe that'll be it's a buffer game to keep the Predators between the Canucks and those teams on the other side of the Rockies.